This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-BONE at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-BONE.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Brayden Suprenant. Thanks again for downloading and listening to The Brayden Suprenant Show. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen and favorite us on the Odyssey app. You can also catch me live weekdays from 10 to 2 on 97.3 The Fan and streaming on YouTube. Plus, stay connected. Follow me at B_SURP, at BSERP on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok, and subscribe to my YouTube page at BSERP. You can also follow the show on social media at B_SURP show, at BSERP show. Now let's get into the show.
Well, things are starting to heat up over there in Orlando, Florida. Joining us again in the 11 o'clock hour, Sam Levitt, out there live in Orlando. Sam, starting to heat up a little bit in terms of the hot stove. A lot of pieces moving. Edwin Diaz signs with the Dodgers. Kyle Schwarber with the Phillies, and of course, a lot of Padres news. What's the what's been the scene set today down in Orlando?
Yeah, it's been obviously a much busier day too. I think nobody here really surprised about Schwarber going back to the Phillies. It felt like that was probably what was going to happen. Like, he was going to go get his offers and then go back to Philadelphia, and they would have a chance to match it. And ultimately he goes back to Philly, which, you know, it always felt like it would have been an upset for another team to get him. And then Edwin Diaz, where on one hand, I think from a general perspective and a Met perspective, it's a shocker because he's been so good for them. And he's also, you know, obviously been a very, very big part of that team. And ultimately they save a little money by signing Devin Williams, last week for 3 years, 50 plus million. And I suppose that's the surprising part, but the idea that the Dodgers got another and continue to spend wildly, definitely not surprising. So certainly two big signings, and I would I'd classify the Diaz one, despite it being the LA Dodgers, which doesn't surprise us at this point, I would classify it as being a stunner that he goes from New York to LA.
Even Ian Rappaport was upset about the news on Twitter. He was very upset. He's like, figures it's another one to the Dodgers. You got people in the NFL upset about these potential moves, but I'm sure that will throw a tizzy for the collective bargaining conversations around Orlando these next couple of days. But let's talk about the big news out of Kevin Acey's article last night. I mean, a lot to unpack. I think you can interpret it multiple ways. How does Sam Levitt interpret what you read last night in that article?
Yeah, I mean, reading what Kevin wrote last night and talking to some people here today, you know, I think two things can be true. You know, certainly there you know, can be a lot of validity to what Kevin wrote about what the Padres plan to do, and a big move could come. I also think that when you talk about A.J. Preller, you can sort of always say that about A.J., right? That there's something big that could happen, and we know that A.J. is excuse me, the type of general manager who listens on everybody, right, and is open to a lot of possibilities. So, you know, on one hand, I think it was interesting to see that written at this time. But at the same time, I do wonder how often you can just write that about A.J. Preller and the Padres and what he's talking about. And we know how he operates, and we know that he can stun us and pull things out of nowhere and do things that you do not see happening whatsoever. So I'm not shocked to hear it. I talked to Dennis Lynn a little bit earlier today about his reporting in The Athletic yesterday about Nick Pivetta and his belief that they are listening on offers to him. I don't know that I'd put even trading Pivetta in the category of what I think Kevin was, you know, getting to. You know, my mind goes to even bigger names than that. You know, anybody who has control and would bring a big haul back. I don't even really want to get into names because I feel like it's almost irresponsible because of what that would mean for the Padres and this roster and the type of move that could be. But again, just to go back to the original assessment, you know, certainly respect Kevin's reporting on it. I also think that you could probably say that about AJ at about any time during an offseason or around the trade deadline that he's thinking about a lot of different things. And many of those things could be very, very big.
I think the other way, I think there's two ways to interpret that news. I think you can compare it to a sense of one big player for a bunch of different major leaguers. I think, sure, a lot of people viewed it like that. I think the other context is, you know, Kevin could just be pointing out the fact that it could be a move that is just so big that it's at that level, and it doesn't necessarily have to be a one for a bunch or whatever. There might just be a bunch of moves, a lot of pieces moving, just like the trade deadline.
Yeah.
Because he brought up the last year's trade deadline, and again, in last year's trade deadline, there was like 20 prospects moved. I mean, it could just be a sense of this is going to be a big trade of that magnitude, but it's not specifically a Fernando or a Mason Miller or whatever, for a lot of prospects.
Yeah, I'm with you. I didn't take it as necessarily that that's what it meant as far as, oh, they're going to move a Fernando, they're going to move a Mason Miller, they're going to move a Jackson Merrill. Like somebody that would just sort of, you would be like, whoa, right? Change the franchise. I don't know if that I put Miller in that category. You know, no disrespect to Mason, he's amazing, but as
a
reliever,
pitcher,
but like,
it's hard to get a lot of things back.
If we got a notification on our phones that Fernando or Merrill were getting traded, that would be a franchise altering move. That's what I mean.
Yes.
I'm not saying they're doing that, but the point is, I don't think that Kevin's, what he wrote, necessarily means that that is the big thing. To your point, could it be a trade that's a need for a need at the major league level? Could it be a trade that is, look, I know the system, the farm system is not what it was a year ago, not what it was this summer. However, there still are chips there. There's still a big chip in Ethan Salas there. And could you look at a move where they grab what's left and go, you know, get a big guy and they push aggressively? Certainly could be as well. So, Brendan, to your point, I think there's a lot of ways you could interpret that, and so we'll see if any of that transpires here at the winter meetings. I don't know that it's going to. You know, the more we're here, the more I think this may end up being a similar meetings, well, not similar meetings, but similar offseason to what the Padres have had the last couple of years, where this is late moving, where this is looking towards late January, early February, and striking them like they did with Profar, like they did with Pivetta the last couple of years, so we'll see.
We're talking with Sam Levitt, who's live at the winter meetings in Orlando, talking about everything Padres and everything else going on in Major League Baseball. Rumor mill starting to heat up a little bit. Hot stove starting to heat up a little bit as well. I do want to, you know, add to that point. I mean, a lot of the times, I mean, the Padres right now are massively in the trade market, I would say, more than the free agent market. At least that's what a lot of the reports are going. And again, to point out, just because you're talking to a lot of people doesn't mean you align on a lot of trades. I mean, we've seen A.J. Preller be rumored to have a lot of deals in place and nothing happens at the winter meetings or even at trade deadlines. We've seen that before. So, you know, Sam, just to kind of add to that and let you explain more, I mean, just because there's conversations doesn't mean any of these are going to happen.
No, not at all. I mean, I AJ described it yesterday as day one of the meetings, and we've seen this last well, not the year before when they traded Soto, because that was a big move at the meetings, but certainly last year, where it seemed to be just a much different kind of winter meetings, from the sense of it was like a fact-finding mission. You know, I don't know if fact-finding is the right way to put it. More like, let me rephrase it. Like, they were like sponges, right? They were absorbing information. They were getting information on what might be out there, on the interest in their players, on what else they could do. So, you're right. Just because you're having conversations and there are some rumors swirling around this time of year does not mean anything is imminent to happen. And, you know, look, we'll see. We've seen all different kinds of meetings, although those were different. I mean, the signing of Bogarts, Padres aren't going to make a move like that right now. The trade of Soto, we knew that was in all likelihood coming. We just didn't know when, and it did happen at the meetings. I'd be shocked if there's a move of that magnitude, even with Kevin's reporting. But I do firmly believe they are listening on a variety of things, whether that be in the free agent market or certainly in the trade market as well.
We haven't gotten to the sound yet on the show, but you talked with Scott Boras a little bit today.
Yeah.
Asked him specifically about the Padres. What was your conversation like with Scott?
Yeah, well, look, I you know, had the opportunity, saw it, took it, you know, and asked him about his view on what's going on with the Padres, right? A team that's exploring an ownership change. You know, it seemed that, you know, in years prior with his clients, Xander Bogaerts being one of them, obviously they traded for Soto, but he was, you know, certainly in communication with the Padres front office during that process as well. You know, asked him his thoughts about the Padres and what will happen with them organizationally. You know, and essentially Scott Boras said, you know, he hopes that, well, he first started very complimentary of San Diego and the fan base and the support and, you know, and what Peter Seidler built with the Padres, built a platform and did it so well, and essentially expressed, as you would predict, his desire for both current ownership and potentially new ownership to continue investing in the team. That San Diego is a city and a fan base that deserves to continue their quote-unquote postseason ways. So I don't think that he said anything to me that was very surprising, because I think Scott would like every major league team to spend like the Padres were over the course of the last decade or so. But he had a very base level expressed the desire of current and potentially new ownership to continue being aggressive. You know, are the Padres going to be nearly as active as they were free agency wise right now? Probably not, you know, if we're being honest about how this is probably going to go this off season. But hopefully at some point they're back to investing in the free agent market at that kind of level again.
We're talking with Sam Levitt, who's live at the winter meetings in Orlando, Florida, talking everything Padres as well as Major League Baseball. Kyle Schwarber was the big bat to go. It sounded like he was going to set the market this week and really for the remainder of the offseason. We talked about on the show about free agency probably kicking up after he signed, but it sounds like there's a lot of reports that it might open up the trade market a little bit. We saw Joel Sherman tweet out about Ketel Marte potentially getting moved today by the Arizona Diamondbacks. Jesse Rogers tweeted out that the Red Sox, Cubs, and Padres are all coming up often as teams that could make a deal soon. Does it feel like there might be a flurry of trades in the next 48 hours?
Maybe. Hard to say. I mean, you know, does the Schwarber piece open up everything else? I don't know. I mean, you know, Diaz, certainly. Could you see a guy like Robert Suarez sign at some point here soon? Because Diaz signed and you get a reliever off the board and that kind of sets the market. Sure. Hard to say, Braden, honestly. I mean, if this is going to be sort of a flurry of moves here, but typically when you do have some pieces start to come off the board and more importantly, the market starts to get set, you know, that's when you see those kinds of things. I think, to your point, you brought up the name, the Ketel Marte situation. It's kind of fascinating. I mean, he's a really good player. He kind of gets, I would say, hidden a little bit in Arizona. I think we all know how good of a player he is, but, you know, I put him and Geraldo Perdomo as two guys who, if they played for different teams in different markets, probably would be more household names. You know, even though Marte, I think in the NL West, we all understand how good he is. So, it's a bit of a fascinating one. He would be great for a lot of teams. And, you know, look, we'll see how it transpires. But hard to say, you know, if this will lead to a flurry of moves, but certainly help set the market at the very least, right? You know, when you have two pretty significant deals in place here in the early part of the day.
What's the schedule like for the rest of the day? What's on Sam Levitt's radar that we could be paying attention to for social media and other types of content?
Yeah, AJ Preller will speak in less than a couple of hours, so we'll have the video and audio from that. We'll see what AJ has to say today. Continue gathering some stuff here from around the building. See if we can get to talk on camera. You know, so that'll be fun. You know, do my little circles around the lobby here, so we'll continue to do that. What else we got tomorrow? We got the manager breakfast tomorrow. It's a big one with Craig Stammen. First Craig Stammen manager breakfast, so we'll get to have breakfast with the skipper and continue to monitor here. You know, look, I think, you know, we've had, in my time covering the Padres now, we've had all different kinds of winter meetings. This one to this point is kind of similar to last year, where from a Padres standpoint, there's not a ton going on. Now, I think we had a little bit more rumor-wise so far this year than last year. When you talk about the reporting on Pivetta, what Kevin wrote, you know, it does get your mind thinking a little bit. Like, I think back to last year, there really wasn't a whole lot. I mean, we sort of wondered, like, for a little bit, could they try to trade for Garrett Crochet? That was being thrown around a little bit, if they were going to get really aggressive and end up trading guys like Salas and DeVries for Crochet. But, you know, if no moves on the Padres front are made and we continue to kind of swirl around the rumor mill, things, you know, get a little bit repetitive, admittedly. But we'll see. Look, I think the winter meetings, It's to be here. It's to talk to people. It's, you know, to get content. Certainly, you know, hear everybody talk during their scheduled availabilities. But more than anything, guys, it's also to be here when stuff happens, right? Like, you know, when they trade Juan Soto at 10 p.m. at night, you know, you got to be there. And, you know, and certainly we've had things like that happen. So I do feel like a common thread amongst people here is if your team is doing a lot, it can be remarkably interesting. But if there's not a whole lot going on, you know, you're sort of standing around waiting for something to happen. So we'll see.
Who's winning the battle right now, Wi-Fi or Sam Levitt?
Oh, me. I figured it out. Yeah, I figured it out. I'll tell you what, is this my room key that just popped out? No, this is one on the floor. There's a room key by my foot here. Sorry. I don't know whose that is. But, no, you know, we adjusted today a little bit. We did have major Wi-Fi problems yesterday in the early to late afternoon. Adam Klug was not happy with me.
It's not your fault, man. It's the Wi-Fi.
Yeah, well,
blame the mouse. I mean, when in Orlando, you got to blame the mouse.
I got to figure it out. So, but today, I'll tell you what I did today. I've not set up in the media room today. In fact, my hotel room is very close to the main part of the lobby, and I've kind of designated this spot that you see me in here in the lobby as my radio hit spot.
It's the Sam Levitt area.
Yeah, it's easier to have my laptop up there. I bring this stuff down, zoom my hits. It's not very fun. It's fine. So I'm operating from room, lobby, the building, and the point is the Wi-Fi in the room is much better. So we'll stay in the hotel room for today. As far for an uploading purpose.
Perspective. Yeah, we appreciate
and
that.
And it's also super cold in the media room. Like, oh, you have no idea.
No, you're going to get a cold.
Coldest place
there.
In America.
Yeah,
yes,
Orlando, so Florida. Orlando, Florida's meeting rooms at the hotel.
I'm out of there.
That's way colder than Baltimore, where Frank and I will be at the later of the week. I saw a low of 25 and got a little afraid.
Ooh,
so we'll see.
Frank, make sure you bring your winter coat.
Yeah. I will be ready to go and loving every second of it.
It's going to be great.
All right.
All right, Sam, we'll let you get going. Thanks again for joining us. We appreciate the insight. We'll be passing along all the content that you put out there. And look forward to talking to you again tomorrow.
All right, guys. Thanks.
Sam Levitt joining us live in Orlando, Florida. We figured out the Wi-Fi issues. We figured all the other stuff out. Sam Levitt's got his little place cornered out in the lobby. He was unfazed by the Mickey Mouse drop.
He was.
Huh.
I'm not surprised though. He's a professional.
I know, but even on camera, like nothing like a.
You got to think. You got to think. Do you really think that that's honestly going to mess with him when he has to do pre and post game amongst a bunch of people in the Western Metal Supply building?
I usually don't hear any of those people, but I also don't have it in my headset. He had me doing a Mickey Mouse impersonation in his headset in the middle of an interview. That had to have been like, what was that? Is the mouse here? 833-288-9973, 833-288-9973. As we mentioned before, all guests on 97 through the Fan join us on the David P. Shapiro Fan Hotline. David P. Shapiro, criminal defense attorney, is helping good people regain control of their future when charged with a crime. Since 2010, visit DavidPShapiroLaw.com. Sam did catch up with Dennis Lynn earlier today. What did Dennis have to say? We'll talk about it when we come back. We'll get your phone calls as we continue our coverage of the winter meetings here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97 through the Fan.
So this holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience. And it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Fun week for us on the Fan. Army Navy at the end of the week. We got winter meetings going on for most of the week. We got Padres news, if that. A lot of stuff going on in the sports world. As we cover the winter meetings, now a lot of it, we talked with Sam about this. And again, a lot of it is rumors and he said, she said, until things start actually coming together, it's hard to evaluate. I mean, the stuff from Kevin Acey yesterday was interesting. But, as mentioned before, getting a lot of reports throughout the day. And earlier today, Sam Levitt was joined by Dennis Lynn and had a lot to report.
Just hold on 1 second here.
On that. 1 second. And he had a lot of interesting things about the Nick Pivetta deal and what the rumors were on that. I mean, he reported that before the winter meeting started. He had that on Sunday. And we're going to get to the payroll philosophy for 2026 in a little bit, and some of the competitive outlooks and a lot of other things that were put into Kevin Acey's article that are very interesting about the San Diego Padres. But trying to get to, there it is. Throwing it up. Here's Sam Levitt with Dennis Lynn earlier today.
here at the Baseball Winter Meetings in Orlando as we continue our coverage on 97.3 The Fan. And right now I'm joined by Dennis Lynn of The Athletic, who covers the San Diego Padres. Dennis, you wrote yesterday morning that the Padres might be exploring the idea of shopping somebody like a Nick Pivetta to free up some payroll, maybe get pieces back to complete this roster. What can you tell us about the situation with Pivetta and the idea of the Padres potentially exploring that?
Well, I wouldn't say they're necessarily shopping him. They're definitely listening on him. And the number one thing when you say the Padres are listening is A.J. Preller always listens on everybody. I mean, he famously said, I think at one of these winter meetings, if I can get two Tatises for one Tatis, I always listen. But the thing is, the Padres don't have a lot of money to spend. We're all speculating here, right? But just informed speculation, maybe $10 to $20 million. That's not a lot of money given the price of, you know, starting pitching on the open market, trade market. So I think the question is, if not Pivetta, who would they trade to kind of free up money to fill out this roster? Because right now it's a little bit unbalanced in the starting rotation, as everyone knows. And Pivetta is going to make $19 million, $20 million next year, and probably going to walk after the year, assuming he has a decent year and stays healthy. So that's something they're going to consider, something they are considering from what I understand. And I wouldn't call it likely, but again, the question is, who would they trade if not him?
Let's explore that a little bit further, because it is A.J. Preller. We're accustomed to him making big-time moves, whether it is trading somebody away to get pieces back, whether it's acquiring big-time valuable talent. What's your sense of at least the idea that either way the Padres could do something pretty big at some point this offseason?
They could do something big anytime A.J. Preller is still their general manager. So I think there are players out there that he would still very much like. The question is, does he have enough left to get them? And if he doesn't have enough, what kind of crazy trade he's going to make to give himself enough flexibility? I know Mackenzie Gore is someone he's always loved. He was very emotional, I think, personally, when he traded him away for Juan Soto. But it was Juan Soto, so that was why he made that trade. Gore is still out there. I don't know if they have enough to get him, but if they can trade someone else and get prospects back in return to maybe go out and acquire Mackenzie Gore, or if they can shoot even higher potentially, that's all on the table with A.J. Preller. It's just a matter of how he's going to do it.
As far as the money they have to spend, just from a purely free agent standpoint, you know, assuming that the numbers you have are what the actual numbers end up being by the time the offseason completes itself, from a free agent standpoint, what sort of pool do you see the Padres swimming in as far as free agency?
Well, you see the pool they're swimming in right now. They're signing minor league free agent types to, you know, very inexpensive major league deals. I would expect to see a similar approach as last offseason, when they kind of just waited out the market, at least for free agency. And I think they only made one trade last offseason. They paid cash for Ron Marinaccio. But I would expect a lot of just these lower tier signings. If someone pops at the end, like Nick Pivetta did, or Jerks and Profar did late in spring training a couple years ago, that's certainly on the table. But again, free agency is really expensive these days. Again, but so is the trade market. So I think, if there's a Nick Pivetta-like bargain out there toward the end of spring training, that might be something more that they're looking to do.
The last couple of off seasons have been slow moving, right? The Profar move comes late in 23. Pivetta move comes late in 24. In all likelihood, do you think that's what this looks like again, where this is another sort of late moving off season heading towards spring training?
Yeah, that's the general sense around just the industry, other teams too. Things could, I guess, accelerate here if Kyle Schwarber signs the next couple weeks, but it's the sense is it's going to be a slow market, and not a lot of teams are super willing to spend a ton of money, especially with some uncertainty on the labor front a year from now. So I think it's not the most exciting winter meetings, but there has been a lot of obviously rumors and talk, and that's a normal thing, especially when A.J. Preller is involved.
Lots of interesting stuff to unpack with Dennis Lynn right there as he joined Sam Levitt out there at the winter meetings. Now, a lot of that stuff is some of the things that we talked about earlier in the show today. I've been trying to find different pieces, trying to find different avenues to improve this roster. Dennis Lynn said the budget about, you know, $20 million. And Dennis Lynn is right when it comes to starting pitching. You're not going to get good starting pitching for $20 million. And if you have $20 million to spend, we said like $20 to $30 million the last couple of weeks. If you have $20 million to spend with the cost of starting pitching, and you got to fill starting pitching and a bat, a power bat, and maybe, you know, the bullpen help's probably done at this point. That's not a lot of money to work with. And again, the Padres said that they're going to be relatively in the same payroll they were last year. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do. But that's why there's a lot of trade rumors, Frank, because you look at the value, you look at the money they have willing to spend and what the holes that they have, it's going to have to be through some trades.
Yeah, that's if you're going to, we've said that for a while now, that if you are going to rebuild this team, if you're going to make it a competitor again, that this is how you're going to have to do it. You were going to have to go through the trade market. You were going to have to dip in deeper into that prospect capital that you somehow always seem to have, and we're going to have to get a deal done. And that's how it's proving this year that it's going to have to be for this team.
So we'll have more sound and information coming out as we get more updates from Sam Levitt out there in Orlando. I mean, just tons of information and a lot of rumors. I mean, this is kind of the start of the build now around the winter meetings. We're going to get more information, you know, as the days come on. And you never know when you're going to see. This is the scrolling Twitter month or week for if you're a baseball fan. This week and the trade deadline. 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. We're going to take your phone calls, get to the sports thread when we come back. Also, talk a little bit about what the payroll situation might look like as reported by Kevin Acey last night. We'll talk about that when we come back on the Brayden Soprano Show, San Diego Summer Sports Station, 97.3 The Fan.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had, and the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day, and everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All the Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
We're also going to be giving away Aztec tickets in the 1 o'clock hour. Aztecs basketball as they take on Lamar tomorrow at Viejas Arena. Lot to get to still. We're going to get to the sports thread in just a little bit, but do want to get back to your phone calls. 833-288-0973. 833-288-0973. Let's get out to Kevin in Chula Vista. Kevin, you're on the Brayden Soprano Show. What's going on?
Hey, Bray. God, it's hot, isn't it?
Yeah. Did you know it's December?
Man, I tell you what. Baseball weather, that's what it is. So not complaining, but what the heck. So let's get back to a couple things here that you've been talking about, and I appreciate the conversation. First of all, Padres say they're not going to spend any more money, but then they say they're spending the same amount as last year. The qualifier to that is that what we do know is that two-thirds to three-quarters of their payroll is tied up continually on the same five players. So that's a big qualifier in which they're basically saying we're stuck in these contracts, we can't get out of them, and we're not able or willing to go any further. That's a problem. Secondly, as it relates to the sports, I guess, media that is hanging out looking for something to do at the winter meetings, I would basically warn everybody to consider the sources. These guys have got too much time on their hands for an event that really, to date, hasn't produced a whole heck of a lot, and it's probably not going to. So I would caution and just say, you know, folks, enjoy the weather, relax. We'll find out what the Padres are going to do on day one of the season. And then up until that time, I mean, no one of these folks that are making all these bold predictions like Harold Reynolds, has he ever held accountable, Braden? I mean, seriously, to the things that they're saying, you know, it's just guys that have too much time in their hands. And it is what it is. I understand they have a job to do, but we just have to keep that in mind.
Thanks. Appreciate the phone call, Kevin. There's a lot of stuff that comes out at these winter meetings. And we got Sam out there, and we got a lot of, there's got to be a lot of rumors that circle around. And the people that love baseball love diving into some of this stuff. I like diving into it too. But you can fan the other way you want. I mean, for a lot of people, they could just wait for the for spring training, wait for the moves to happen. But I like all of it. I mean, I like the tea, man. It's good stuff, Frank. I like the tea.
Yeah, I mean, if you get anything out of this week, it's you get to see at least the direction that some teams are going. You hear a lot of rumors that you wouldn't normally hear around the off season, and it's sometimes it materializes, sometimes it doesn't. Things happen that surprise you. Other things go like the Schwarber thing today, where you more or less knew that he was going to be going back to Philadelphia. So, I mean, if you don't get the big signings, if you don't get the names, if you don't get the flurry of activity that, of course, you want as a baseball fan, you at least get some knowledge as to where your team is headed and the direction that they're going and some of the things that they're looking and trying to do to make the team better.
Jeff Passan reports that the Angels are acquiring infielder Vaughn Grissom in a trade with the Red Sox. Does that move you at all?
No. I'm in 2029, and he's been in AAA the entire time. So, no, I don't care.
Doesn't move you.
Nope.
No, it doesn't move me either. Dan in Arizona, you're on the Braden Surprenant Show. What's going on, Dan? Dan, are you there? Dan is not there. We'll see you, buddy. All right, time to get to our sports thread. What else is going on in professional sports, college sports, everything that's not the San Diego Padres?
You know that group chat, the one that's always blowing up with the biggest sports takes, debates, and breaking news?
You got barbecue back there, and you didn't invite me!
Yeah, we've got that too. Welcome to the Sports Thread, where we break down the top five stories in sports, just like you would with your crew.
Oh no! Disaster! What a bad idea!
No filters, no silence, just real talk.
Brought to you by QC Kinetics. Stop sitting on the sidelines. QC Kinetics gets you back in the game without surgery. To learn how, visit QCKinetics.com.
All right, Frank, what do we got going on today?
Well, this is a story that just dropped. The end of college football as we know it.
Number one.
The University of Utah is finalizing a landmark private equity partnership that would be the first of its kind in college athletics. According to Yahoo Sports, this article is written by Carter Bonds, I believe, on CBSSports.com. According to Yahoo Sports, Utah is set to enter an agreement with a New York-based firm, Atro Capital, I guess that would be it, that will help generate an estimated $500 million for the school's athletic department. Utah received clearance from the NCAA to enter the partnership, It must abide by certain stipulations to remain an NCAA member, though. For instance, university president Taylor Randall and athletic director Mark Harlan must retain majority of the decision-making control. With the groundbreaking deal comes the creation of a for-profit entity that will operate the Utes athletic athletics outside of the university. Utah Brands and Entertainment LLC will exist as an independent offshoot of the athletic department co-owned by the university and Otro Capital. The school will be the majority owner and possess decision-making authority, while Otro Capital earns a percentage of the company's annual revenue. Utah has just entered a deal with the devil that could change the landscape of college football forever.
Yeah. They have approved the private equity plan for athletics. And I would not be surprised if more schools don't follow suit.
Yep.
It's fascinating
now that,
stuff.
Now that it's been done. You always need a guinea pig.
It's amazing what people will do for money. Right? I mean, I don't know how this works out for Utah in the long run. I mean, the short term is going to be great. They're getting all this money. They're getting this influx of money. Everything's going to be great. But what are we doing here? I can't believe a institution, my state-funded institution, by the way, University of Utah, public school. I can't imagine. I mean, this is crazy. It's crazy.
It's unthinkable. It really is. I mean, forget, this is professional sports now. It's not college athletics. You have been bought by a private equity firm. It's over. You cannot say that this is college athletics anymore.
Well, you could not say that for a long time. There's a lot of things that need to be fixed with college athletics, and a lot of them are, they use the amateurism to not put in all the rules needed to make it a competitive thing. And so now you have, like, I mean, they sold their athletic department for $500 million.
They sold their school's athletic department to a private equity firm. That school does not own its athletic department solely anymore.
We've seen so many great things. Don't so many great things happen with private equity?
Oh, yeah.
So many great things.
Nothing has ever gone wrong, you know, selling to private equity firms. I wonder if Mr. Wonderful was a part of the deal. I know he'd approve of it. I wonder if he was a part of this deal. Maybe Mark Cuban is in on this company.
So the company's going to manage the entire revenue operation of Utah Athletics. Otro Capital, the New York-based private equity firm, will become a minority owner of an operational manager of the athletic department. The university retains majority control via the University of Utah Growth Capital Partners Foundation. Otro will run ticket sales, media and broadcast rights strategy, stadium events, concessions, trademarks, licensing, and merchandising. But Utah Athletics still controls the student-athlete experience, scholarships, coaches, fundraising, and NCAA compliance. This is effectively outsourcing much of the revenue-generating engine to a for-profit firm, something unheard of in major college athletics until now.
They've sold off any amount of profit that they are going to get for the foreseeable future until the $500 million is paid back.
Well, the school officials did not publicly say how much Otro is investing, but Yahoo Sports reports that the partnership could generate up to $500 million to the athletic department. Deal is expected to be fully finalized in early of 2026. It is going to be the largest private equity-driven revenue play in college athletics to date. That's what happens if you lose to your rival in BYU.
Yeah, especially in Mormon country. It just did lose your mind. It's unbelievable.
They listed in there, like, why Utah's doing this. Rising costs in college sports driven by the House vs. NCAA settlement, allowing schools to pay athletes up to $20.5 million annually, conference realignment, financial pressure, growing deficits nationwide. They listed the projected deficits and how about this?
Conference realignment, you're in a Power 4 conference.
No, but the financial pressure of they had to move and they had to pay back the Pac-12.
They didn't have to.
I know. Well, they needed to because they weren't going to get the TV deal with the Pac-12. But anyway, they said that Ohio State's in a $37.7 million deficit. That's Ohio State. Ohio State's like one of the biggest college athletic programs in the country. They're in a $37.7 million deficit.
All because idiots like me wanted a video game.
Yeah. Utah's concerns are competing financially in the Big 12, which lags behind the SEC and Big 10 in TV revenue, preserving non-revenue in Olympic sports, especially women's sports. They think they have to cut them unless they bring in private equity.
Yeah, I'll...
He draws the foul.
We might have to talk about that later in the week.
I'll take the foul for wanting a video game. My bad.
Number two.
There you go.
Indiana quarterback Fernando Mendoza was named a Heisman Trophy finalist just 2 days after leading the Hoosiers to their first Big Ten title game in 58 years. He is joined by Vanderbilt's Diego Pavia, Notre Dame's Jeremiah Love, and Ohio State's Julian Sayin. So congratulations to Julian Sayin being named a Heisman Trophy finalist. Mendoza is the heavy betting favorite, boosted his case by defeating Sayin in the Big Ten Championship to secure Indiana's spot as the number one seed in the college football playoff. Each finalist has had standout seasons, with Pavia setting Vanderbilt records, Love breaking Notre Dame's touchdown marks, and Sayin posting the highest completion rate in college football history. Who do you think is going to get the Heisman Trophy? It's announced Saturday.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That is Saturday, isn't it? They always do it on the Army-Navy day. I think it's Mendoza. I think it's Indiana's quarterback. I think he's done the most and has done the best. I mean, if Julian Sayin won the Big Ten championship game and got a perfect undefeated season, he'd probably be the favorite, but I think that game kind of hurts him.
As a true freshman, no?
No, he played last year. Okay, so he didn't start last year, but he's a sophomore. Freshman.
Is he a sophomore or a redshirt freshman?
He could be a redshirt. No, he. Well, I don't know. He played last year. I have to check. You can play four games. Yeah. But I don't know how many years he's been there. I mean, I think it's been 2 years now. This is the second year. Maybe he's a redshirt freshman.
Yeah, if he didn't. Yeah.
He's not a true freshman. I know that because he played in games last year.
Well, so there you go.
But, I mean, does anybody care about the Heisman Trophy anymore?
All right.
Are you going to tune into that and watch it? No. When's the last time you watched the Heisman Trophy presentation?
I couldn't tell you.
Couldn't tell you. Exactly. I don't care.
My uncle's trying to get me tickets to John Cena's last match after the Army-Navy game, so I might be going to D.C.
Number three.
There you go.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are signing veteran pass rusher Jason Pierre-Paul to their practice squad after a successful tryout. Pierre-Paul, 36, previously starred for the Tampa Bay Bucks from 2018 to 2021 and was part of their Super Bowl championship team. His signing comes as the Bucks deal with an ankle injury to starter Hassan Reddick. Paul, who last played in 2023, has 94.5 career sacks and a long history of overcoming major injuries, including the 2015 firework accident and a 2019 neck fracture. Is this a sign of how weak the free agent class is that the Bucks are going for Jason Pierre-Paul and now the Colts have signed Phillip Rivers?
I mean, it's just everything you need to know about what they think about the backups in these areas. I mean, the JPP one is crazier to me because quarterbacks are different. Like, you can come back and play quarterback at a higher age if you want to take a couple of hits. They're well protected, and you need a good quarterback to make it through. The JPP story is crazy to me.
Are you down with JPP?
As long as he doesn't shoot off fireworks. There it is. Noon lunchtime hour when we come back. That's a wrap for today's episode of the Brayden Suprenant Show. If you haven't already, make sure to subscribe to the podcast and favorite us on the Odyssey app. And remember, you can always catch me live weekdays from 10 to 2 on 97.3 The Fan and streaming on YouTube. Stay connected. Follow me at B_SURP, at BSURP on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. And don't forget to subscribe to my YouTube page at B_SURP. You can also follow the show on social media at B_SURP show. Thanks for listening, and I'll catch you next time.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience. And it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.